Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week is Parshas Shoftim. So let's begin, first of all, by connecting the Parshas Shoftim to the special month we're about to begin. We're about to enter, which is the month of Elul. We know that, we've said this many times, that the Shaloh HaKadosh says that when the Parshas HaShavua, even though they are read just one after another, and not necessarily in connected to any particular time, but nevertheless, if a parsha falls in a particular time, it's always connected to that time. So we find in Svarim many connections between Parsha Shoftim and Elul. For example, the very beginning of the parsha starts off with Shoftim v'shoitrim titein l'cho b'chol she'arecha, that there's a mitzvah when the Yidden are in Eretz Yisrael to appoint judges and law enforcement officers b'chol she'arecha, at all your gates. Simply that means in all your towns and all your places where you live. The language of the Torah is b'chol she'arecha, at all your gates. So the Sifrei Musar explain that this mitzvah applies to the person individual as well. We all have gates to our body, our mouths, our eyes, our ears, where information flows from and to the body through these different gates. And therefore, particularly when it comes to Elul, one of the things we have to reflect on, how are we doing with placing judges and officers at the gates of our own body? Meaning, do we reflect, do we sift and filter what we are able to see and what we are able to look at, what we listen to and what we talk, what we say and what we absorb? So this is all emphasized during the month of Elul, where this is part of the tshuva, to do the cheshbon, to do the reflection and the stock-taking about how well we are doing in terms of the judges and officers at our gates. Because we know that many of the problems we have spiritually all have to do with the information flowing to and from through the gates of our own body. Another interesting connection is a vort from the Kli Yoker, where we know that this week's parasha also has the mitzvah of appointing a king. Soim tosim olecha melech, and all the halachas that have to do with the king. We know the famous question on which there are many answers about when the Jews in the time of Shmuel Hanavi, when the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have kings, they had judges, they had other things, but they didn't actually have a king. And when it came the time of Shmuel Hanavi, they came to Shmuel Hanavi and said, "We really want a king. Tno lonu melech, give us a king." And Shmuel Hanavi was very upset why the Yidden want a king, and it was considered inappropriate, their request, and so on and so forth. And the famous and obvious question is, but isn't it a mitzvah in this week's parsha to want a king, to appoint a king? Many answers are given for this question, but here's the answer from the Kli Yoker, and I think it's very much connected with Elul and preparation to Rosh Hashanah. He said, you have to look at the language. In the time of Shmuel Hanavi, they said, "Tno lonu melech, give us a king." However, over here, the Torah with the mitzvah of appointing a king says, "Soim tosim, place upon you, olecha melech." What's the difference? It says when they asked for tno lonu melech, they wanted a figurehead, but they wanted to control the situation. They asked for leadership, but not that the leadership should tell them what to do, not that they should surrender to the leadership and the direction and the guidance of the king, but they should manipulate and control what the king is going to tell them and what the king is going to instruct them. Tno lonu melech, give us a king. We will control the process. That's inappropriate. However, in this week's parasha, where it talks about a king and appointing appropriate, a tzaddik of a king and so on, says, Soim tosim olecha melech, place upon you a king. Submit, surrender to his leadership, to his instruction, which is all part of serving Hashem. We know in serving Hashem, the idea of Kabbalas oil. Kabbalas oil meaning accepting upon ourselves the yoke, the obedience, the surrender to authority, to leadership, is extremely important, particularly, of course, to the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. No better time to read this than during the month of Elul when we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is to accept upon the sovereignty, to accept upon ourselves the kingship of Hashem. That is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, that is such a connection. We need to think about that at the beginning of Elul. How are we in terms of conforming to authority? How are we in terms of our own self-discipline and not manipulating the Torah mitzvahs to fit us, but rather we fitting in to the authority, the guidance, and the instruction of the Torah and mitzvahs? So that's an obvious connection. I just want to point out one idea from the parsha which maybe also has to do with Elul, because in Elul we have to do a Cheshbon HaNefesh, and the real reflection during the month of Elul is to be honest with ourselves. Now, being honest with ourselves is extremely difficult, and this is hinted in the Parsha as well. The Parsha talks about appointing judges, and then the Parsha warns about Lo Yikach Shoichad, not to take bribery, any form of bribery. Now, we know that, obviously, in the simple sense, it means bribing a judge, and so on and so forth. But there's a concept of self-interest, or conflict of interest. We have natural, personal bias. Now, the halachas of bribery are very strict. The Gemara tells us about Dayonim, great Dayonim in the Gemara, that wouldn't judge a case. They recuse themselves because on the way into the courthouse, for example, one of the litigants brushed off a feather of his coat and therefore sneezed at him a favor. He said, I can't judge the case because self-interest is so strong, even subconsciously. The Ksav Sofer writes that he heard a story from his father, the Chassam Sofer. There was a time called of the Vad Arba Arotzos. This was in the 16th century, where there was Polish and Lithuanian, and they created an overreaching sort of a head body of a based in. It was a committee, and they used to sort of meet once a year in a certain place where there was a Yerid. There was in Lublin, where there was a business fair where people used to come, and they would deal with issues. And one time, the Sameh, who was a really, really great tzaddik and commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, he came and he had a money conflict with a certain particular person, but he submitted to the authority of the base, and he said, let's go to a base, and they went. When the Arba Arotzos, the Vaad Arba Arotzos, was there, and he put forward his claim. One of the Dayonim, one of the judges judging the case, said to the Sameh, you know, you're putting forth the claim, but you seem to have forgotten a detail that would go against your favor, something that you yourself wrote in your Sefer, the Sameh, the Me'ir HaSeinayim, on the Shulchan Aruch Cheshem Mishpat. You wrote something completely opposite to what you're saying now. The Sameh thought for a moment, and he said, you're absolutely right. I had forgotten what I'd written there. That is correct. I admit I'm wrong. Now, we see two great, amazing things from the story. First of all, great tzaddikim were always able to admit if they were wrong. But we see the extent of self-interest, that he had actually forgotten. He was such a huge Talmud Chacham, but he had sincerely forgotten what he had written in Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary, because he was now standing before a Beis Din and wanting to put forward claims in his own interest, and he just completely forgot that Sfarah, and his mind was working a bit differently. This reminds me also of the famous idea, and this is an incredible display of how self-interest can actually affect a person. The Gemara tells us that when the committee, in olden times, you know, it wasn't like now we have a set calendar and a system which works, but in olden times when they would get together and decide during the month of Adar whether to make the year a leap year, in other words, to add a month of Adar, there were two people that were not permitted to be part of the committee, the king and the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. The king, because it was in his interest to have a longer year, because then he would pay his soldiers in the army by the year, and therefore this would be in his interest. And the Kohen Gadol, a bizarre reason. The Kohen Gadol was not allowed to be, because even though the Kohen Gadol was normally a tzaddik and a great person, because for the Kohen Gadol was in his interest not to have a leap year. Because if you have a leap year, then Yom Kippur comes out a little bit later. And in the Northern Hemisphere, it's more winter. Now, we know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to go to mikveh five times during the day. There was no heated mikvahs in those days, so it was a cold mikveh. And therefore, we are worried that perhaps deep down subconsciously, the Kohen Gadol would want to sway his opinion to not having a leap year in order to make Yom Kippur a little bit earlier, still in the summertime, in order that the mikveh shouldn't be so cold. That's an unbelievable thing, but we learn from here the extent of how strong we have to be, careful in self-honesty and self-awareness, not to be swayed by self-interest. I think, again, that is connected with the month of Elul, because Elul is supposed to take stock. Part of the success of the Cheshbon HaNefesh taking stock is to be honest with ourselves, and if we can't be honest with ourselves, to talk to other people who can be honest with us to know where we're up to, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and what we need to improve on. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.